Our Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 42. So John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, those who draw their wages, even now, they harvest the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." I'd like to invite Erica up now.
Thanks, Fletcher. Good morning, everyone. I'm Erica, in case you don't know me. And I'd just like to take a moment to, once again, invite you to church camp. It's a really amazing time of fellowship. If you're even thinking about going, today is the last day you can register. And I just want to tell you how important it is for developing relationships in our community. Camp is a time where we're together for 3 days, and we can talk to each other, and it's really, really helpful in developing those friendships and within our communities. I found when I went, I made many friends. So you know, if you want some friends, go. But today, as Fletcher just read to us, we're looking at a story usually called The Woman at the Well, but she is a woman who has tasted and seen God's goodness firsthand. We're going to look at the significance of this interaction. So I'm going to tell you a little story. It is the 8th of April, 2020. We've been in lockdown for nearly 2 weeks. It's my 16th birthday, and I'm very sad because I can't go out with my friends like I usually do. Mum offers to make me whatever I want for dinner in an effort to cheer me up, and she said that I could go to the shops to get the ingredients to make it. So I'm very excited. I am so happy that I get to leave the house, that I'm ecstatic to go to the shops. But when I get there, I see all the people and I'm filled with fear. All I can see are potential germs. I steer away from everyone. I have my hand sanitizer out ready to go. Anytime I touch something, wash my hands. I'm like picking up things like this so I don't touch and get the germs all over me. I try not to have eye contact with everyone. It's honestly the fastest I have ever shopped and will ever shop. I just didn't want to be around people. That isolation and the desperation to see and be with people and willing to do anything just to talk to someone, but realizing why you avoid people and the fear, the instinct to run, the feeling that it isn't safe in the community is how I picture this woman to have been feeling. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are sovereign and you are holy. You are set apart and there is no one like you. We thank you for your word that we can read it, learn it, and use it. Thank you that we live in a country where we can gather to learn more about you through your word. And thank you that we're able to speak freely. I pray you would guide me as I speak today, that the words I say would be from you and that they would convict us to do your will. Please take anything away that is not from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are many things that we can take from this story. It is a rich lesson with different things that we can learn. But today I want to focus on three main questions. What can we learn about the woman? What can we learn about Jesus? And what can we learn about us? So, what can we learn about the woman? Firstly, she's a woman. In this time period, intermingling between men and women without supervision was very much taboo. But as it says, the disciples come and they find Jesus talking to the woman and they say, "Why are you talking to her without anyone around?" It was very, very taboo. Jesus was alone at the well with this woman. Strike one against Jesus. The second thing we learn is that she lived in the region of Samaria. So she was named the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman. But what does Samaritan mean? They may have been children of Jewish people and foreign cultures. They may have been some form of breakaway from the Jewish faith. Unfortunately, all the sources we have that are relevant all have some sort of agenda, so we'll never fully know why, but at some point, for some reason, the Jews and the Samaritan people split, and it was not amicable. They had important differences between their interpretation of Jewish law, the biggest being where they worshipped. The Jews worshipped in the temple on Mount Zion, and that was a major pillar of their belief. For the Samaritans, they believed in worshipping on the mountain of Gerizim. Debates like these were common amongst the two communities, and therefore they were very hostile to each other. So a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman? Strike two. Our reading tells us that she was at the well at noon. What does this indicate to us, you ask? Well, in the Middle East, it's very hot. You'd come to collect water at dawn or dusk because otherwise you would fry. It's not sweltering until it's very hot and the sun's out at noon. So being there in the middle of the day tells us she's not able to collect water when the rest of the town are going. It could be a choice to avoid people because she didn't want to be around them. It could be by force of the city because she was being shunned. Either way, she was giving up her comfort to avoid people. So we know that by some way, she was an outcast socially. So Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman who is a social outcast in the city. That's strike three. But what do we learn about Jesus? Firstly, he has a different order to that we have in the world. He ignored the social rules of the day, speaking to this woman. Humans care about their reputation. I mean, I think we can all agree. We can all understand succumbing to the pressure of society. But Jesus doesn't. He speaks with this woman despite the fact that it could have ramifications for him later. He cared more about this woman than about his reputation. And we see this repeatedly all through his ministry. He focuses on the order of heaven and the innate worth that he sees in every human being. Eating with sinners and outcasts like tax collectors, lepers, and sex workers, teaching the public about the new life that he gives and the way that they can live according to it. In fact, he tells his disciples and a crowd in Matthew 20 that the last on earth will be the first in heaven and vice versa. Jesus completely changes the way that we live through the message of the gospel. Secondly, we know that Jesus knows the woman beyond what he can possibly know just now. He's only just met her, and he knows that she's previously had five husbands. She later says to those in her town that Jesus told her everything she has ever done. The woman identifies that he's clearly supernatural, but places him as a prophet. And as Maureen was saying earlier, if you had the opportunity to ask someone who actually knew what was going on, wouldn't you? She takes this opportunity to ask him a question. The root of the separation between the Jews and the Samaritans. Should they worship in the temple or should they worship on the mountain? Jesus doesn't answer the question. He decides that the conversation about the gospel that he is having and will continue to have is more important. So, in chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus reveals who he truly is, the Messiah and the Emmanuel. He is the chosen King, God with us, there in the flesh, explaining to her the order of heaven. Jesus then explains what he offers, living water. He uses the image of living water because they're at a well, a symbolic image of a spiritual life that is constantly being renewed. A life that is attached to God, not cut off from him. A new life and a new spirit that completely transforms us so that we're able to participate in God's new order. A life that has power so great that it can redeem us fully. Now, I'm sure that you know this, but just in case you don't, water is a physical need that we have, and this woman will continue to need to get water every day of her life. But each time that she goes to get water, she will be reminded of the love of Jesus, the knowledge and the care that he has of her, and the transforming power that this living water has. This living water is the Holy Spirit. He lives in those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. He guides us, giving us conviction and passion, renewing us through the words in the Bible. He marks us for eternal salvation like a deposit and prompts us to make the right choices. He allows us to understand the gospel and its saving power. So it is no wonder that this woman runs to her town proclaiming the good news. She understood the weight of the message and knew the life-saving power that the gospel carried. She had to share the news. This tells us that she was kind of the first missionary to the Samaritans. She took the message that Jesus was telling her to her town. And tradition says that she went on to be a leader in the church. But in this way, we can see that she was a missionary and she was leading the church. Okay, but what can we learn about us? Firstly, just like the woman, God knows everything about us. He knows us intimately because he is our creator and our father. He knows every bad, sinful, broken thing that we have done. But he knows so much more than just that. Psalm 139 tells us he knows our thoughts, what we will say and do before they even happen. He knows us completely and is always around us. In Luke 12, chapter 12, verse 7, he says he knows the number of hairs on our head. And I mean, unless you are seriously dedicated, I personally don't know that number. So he knows more than I do, and probably more than you do. He knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows our motivations, he knows our desires, and he knows our needs. Which leads us to the next thing. Just like this woman, we too are trapped in our sin. We desperately need this living water that Jesus brings us. Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us are sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. In James 1:14-16, it says that we are all tempted by sinful desires that ultimately lead to death no matter what we do. We cannot save ourselves, only God can. And we desperately need the gift of new life that Jesus is offering to this woman. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says that we're saved by grace, that it's a gift from God, not one that we can give to ourselves. Jesus' living water, the Holy Spirit, is the only thing that can save us. We need it just as much as this woman does. And finally, we learn that Jesus' living water cleanses us. Jesus' death on the cross was a permanent atonement. In the Old Testament, Israelites would need to bring a sacrifice regularly, in some cases even daily, in order to be right with God. The blood of the animal would be a substitute for their blood, as the punishment for sin is death. The act of sacrifice for atonement was to make them right with God. Jesus was God as a person. He was blameless, sinless, and his death on the cross was the last atoning sacrifice that God required. Because he was perfect, he could take our rightful place on the cross, and we in turn would get the reward that he deserved, eternity in relationship with God. His blood cleanses us, and the living water, the Spirit, is the sign that we have been saved. In Ephesians 2 verse 13, it says that we were once far away, but now through the blood of Christ we've been brought near. We are completely transformed, and the past cannot define our future. In the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has gone and the new has come. In view of this, we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves if our life reflects the gravity of this message. As someone who's grown up surrounded by Christianity, I found it easy to grow complacent of the message of the gospel. Sometimes it loses importance to me. It loses the perspective of how big and how powerful it is. For me, this story is a reminder of just how life-changing the gospel is. If this is the gospel that I believe in, I need to be sharing it. In verse 35, Jesus tells the disciples to open their eyes and see the fields are ripe for harvest. What does that even mean? He's speaking metaphorically about people who are ready to hear God's word. He's saying that there are many people ready to receive the gospel with their hearts open. And I think that it's worth reflecting on our lives and asking, what is the field that God has placed you in? Who can you reach that others may not be able to reach? For me, I'm at university, I'm on placement in hospitals, and I work at Gloria Jean's. Reflect for a moment, where have you been placed? If you've been doing the My Friends course that we're running at church, I mean in the Bible studies that we're doing, you may have already reflected on this. Because in that, we have to focus on where we are, what groups we see, and who in those groups we can talk to. But I think that we need to reflect on this more as we go through life. Our life on earth is not forever, so we need to make the most of our time on earth in light of eternity. How can you be sharing the word of God with those around you? Romans 1:16 says, "For I am unashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." We should be unafraid to go spread the word to our town just like this woman did. This starts in prayer. Pray for those around you, that God would guide you to the people that he wants you to reach. Prayer that God would guide you to opportunities to speak to people about him. Prayer that you would have the right words to say, that God would open their hearts. And I want us to do something a little different today. In a moment, we will be having open worship. But today, I would like to start in prayer in groups with each other. I want us to pray for each other that we would reach those around us, that we would be missionaries. Instead of just doing a full church open worship, I'd really like us to gather in groups and pray personally about those who we can reach. And if you're online, it would be amazing if you could do this too, even if it's on your own reflecting. We'll be having communion after this, and if you're online, feel free to have communion in your own house as well with the bread and whatever drink you have. But let's pray to wrap up first. Dear God, thank you so much for the sacrifice of your son Jesus. Thank you for your word and for the example of people within it. I pray that you would help us to be like the woman at the well, unashamed to tell those around her the important message of your great love in the gospel. Please help us to reach those who you have placed in our field. May you guide us to do your will and say the words that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today, especially if you're online. Have a blessed week, and we will see you next time. Bye. For those in the room, let's pray. So if you can break into groups and pray with each other about the people that you can reach.